Man, what an amazing day today is. Not only do we have the chance to be together in person, as well as online, for those tuning in on Facebook Live or on YouTube, not only are we continuing on in week two of this message series, No Fear, which is a series I've been really, really excited about, but also, today is our first baptism service, like, since COVID, which is amazing, which the team has worked incredibly hard because it's going to look a little different than how we've normally done here. We've normally kind of moved over to the chapel where our baptistry is, but to be able to properly socially distance, we all would not fit over there properly, so we're actually going to be videoing it in on the screen. So the families will be able to go over there, but everyone else, you're going to watch it over here. So it's pretty cool that we can do these things. And like I said, the team has worked incredibly hard to get that up and going. So I ask that you give it up for our tech team, man. They worked so hard and have done so much. Man, they have learned a lot over the last little bit and few months of learning to get online and do all this stuff. So it's been great, and I appreciate them so much. But let's go ahead and get into our conversation today. Like I said, it's week two of our message series, No Fear. And I believe this is an incredibly important and incredibly timely message series for us to work through as individuals and as a church, because the reality is our society and our culture is constantly pushing fear upon us, right? It's almost as if, like, they want, like, it's trying to control the things that we do, the things that we believe, and the way we act. And fear is one of the main drivers. They want us, the world wants us rooted in fear. And as a result of that, we can quickly become overwhelmed with these negative feelings. They're just overwhelming. They're all consuming. And it comes in all kinds of forms. I think that's the thing that's really tricky and intense about fear, is that each one of you will process fear differently. And you will fear different things at different levels. But we have these natural fears of things that come at us, like the fear of failure, right? The fear of being alone. Fear of hurt. Fear of not measuring up. Like, right, like not being good enough. Fear of your past. Fear of maybe being exposed. Maybe fear of not being good enough. Fear of death. Fear of not getting it right spiritually. There's all kinds of fears that we face. And specifically here in 2020, I mean, it's like magnified, right? Because not only do we have those normal fears, but we also have fear of COVID, right? This virus, this pandemic that's running rampant. We have fear of the upcoming election. Regardless of who you vote for and you want to win, there's fear that's just like hovering. Like, what is it going to look like moving forward? Fear of whether or not people are being honest, right? Fear of continued corruption, continued racism, continued injustice. Fear of things never changing, or fear of things changing, right? Every day, if we get on social media, if we read the paper or the news, watch the news, whatever it may be, we're going to see and have these opportunities to be afraid of something. And it's why this is so, so important for us to talk through this and to work through this, and not just like in these next like 30 minutes of this conversation, but it has to continue on the back end. Like, you have to continue to do the work and explore scripture and spend time with Jesus about the things that you specifically fear that wreck you, and begin to work through that. Because you see, God never intended us. I said this last week. God never intended us to live this way. He doesn't want us to live in fear. But he knew there would be just innumerable things that we could be afraid of. And that's why one of the most common commands within scripture is don't be afraid. Like, literally, that's one of the most repeated commands within all of scripture, is to not be afraid. The words fear not are in scripture about 365 times. So God is letting us know, like, do not be afraid. And one of my favorite passages of scripture, and it's our key verse for this series, is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And Paul writes this. He says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. You see, although it seems like fear is just abundant, like it's always there, that's not how God wants us to live. He did not give us that spirit. So you can know that when fear starts to rise up within you, that is not from God, because God, the Spirit of God, gives you a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Another version says of a sound mind, right? That's what God wants for you. So within this series, what we're doing is we're looking at four specific individuals or groups of individuals that came face to face with fear, right? And we're watching how God speaks truth and love and power and confidence into those individuals and groups of individuals so that the fear is eliminated, so that they can live a life of no fear as God intended. And if you weren't here last week, we started things off by looking at Mark chapter 4, where the disciples and Jesus were on this boat, like out in the middle of the water, like no land in sight kind of thing, and this huge storm rose up. And we saw how the disciples were afraid. Jesus was snoozing in the back, and they were freaking out. Like, they were not having it. And we saw how they were afraid, how they lacked faith. Yet Jesus still calmed the storm. He calmed the storm and told them, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. See, in Jesus, faith in Jesus is the remedy for fear. Fear in those storms that we face in life. And if you missed last week, it's all good. You can go back and you can check it out on our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel. But today we're going to continue on, and we're going to look at Matthew chapter 14. And again, we're going to find the disciples on a boat in the middle of the water. But this time's a little different because Jesus initially is not with them. And again, they're faced with a situation and they let fear and lack of faith begin to take over. But before we get to that, in my typical fashion, I love to ask you all questions. So, you know, feel free to participate by raising hands online, hit the emojis or whatever it is. But let me ask a question. I want to kind of get a scale, a balance, a base level of where we're at. How many of you say that you love starting the week off without planning, without a schedule, and without even looking at your calendar? You love doing that. Anybody? Nobody. Okay, cool. How about you love driving to a new place that you've never been and you have no directions and no GPS? Anybody? No? One person. There's my adventurer. He's like, let's roll. I'll get there when I get there. All right, I love it. How about you love walking through the door of a building that you've never been in and you can't see what's on the other side? How many of y'all just love that? That gets you excited. Right, no. Step it up a notch. How many of you enjoy making major life decisions without all the details, without all the information, and with no knowledge or guarantee that it's actually going to work out? Nobody? Yeah, me neither. Like, it's because none of us like those feelings. And the reality is, and what we're going to talk about today, is that many of us struggle with fear in the unknown. Right? Fear in the unknown, especially if you're like me and you're like an extreme like perfectionist and control freak, we really don't like the unknown. I mean, we like to make contingency plans for contingency plans. Like, we like to have it all laid out because the unknown can be terrifying. And it hits us in moments when we don't even realize. Like last night, I was driving down the expressway, the highway at night, No street lights. It was really dark. There weren't hardly any other cars around. And I'm cruising down about 75 miles an hour. And it was 70 miles an hour speed limit. Judge me if you will. I don't care. But I was pegged in at 75. And I'm cruising. And I get to this like incline. Okay. Again, no street lights, no cars. And it was long enough and just as steep enough that I couldn't see over the peak. And so I'm cruising down the highway. And I realize I don't know what's coming over top of that peak. And it just without even thinking, like, I started thinking, okay, well, what if there's a stranded car and I don't know it until I'm up on it going 75? What if there's a deer just standing in the middle of the road? What am I going to do? Like, how are we going to work through this? What if there's a turn, like, coming in that's a little sharp? I knew it wasn't going to be a sharp turn, but a curve or something that I wasn't expecting. Like, my mind starts racing with all these things in, like, a 30-second period before I could see over. I'm like, oh, cool, it's good. But it was the fact that I didn't know, and anxiety and panic and fear, just a little bit, started kind of bubbling to the surface. It's because we do not like the unknown. It is not a comfortable space for us to be, and many of us struggle with that. And the problem with that is the consequences for living a life where you fear and are controlled by fear of the unknown, it's not good. Like, it has really, really bad consequences. We tend to freeze up, right? We stay put, right? We don't do the things that we're supposed to do. We don't move forward because we're afraid to move forward because we don't know what's coming, right? So we're not on mission. We're not being and doing all the things that God has created us to be and do. And we're not enjoying all the things that God had in store for us. We're missing out on so much because we've allowed the unknown, the fear of the unknown, to cripple us. When God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, self-control, so you don't have to fear the unknown. Yet, we do it all the time. So with that said, let's go ahead and jump in to our passage of scripture for today. We're looking at Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to start in verse 22. And just for a little bit of context and background, right before verse 22, in the verses before that, we see Jesus perform the miracle of feeding 5,000 plus people with like 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Pretty amazing. It's like, you know, Long John Silver's like 2-piece fish and chicken kind of thing, hush puppies or whatever. And he feeds 5,000 plus people with that. It's amazing, right? He had a busy day. So directly after this is where we pick up the story. Again, it's Matthew chapter 14. We're going to start in verse 22. And it says, immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. So the people that he just fed them, said, disciples, get on a boat, take off, and then he's sending everyone else on their way. After sending them home, he went up onto the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meanwhile, it says, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. So they're in a boat again, wind's blowing, rocking, they're freaking out. Jesus this time is off praying somewhere, right? So verse 25, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Natural response. We would probably all be there, but they were terrified. In their fear, they cried, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I am here. Then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified. Fear crept in. And he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Then again, Jesus put him in their place. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. The wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God. That's right. They exclaimed. She had that ready for me. That was the exclamation right there. So here again, we have the disciples, right? They're terrified. They're in a boat. They're freaking out. They're lacking faith. And this occurrence happened after what we talked about last week. So they had already been through the storm with Jesus on the boat where they were freaking out, woke Jesus up, and Jesus calmed the storm and said, you got little faith. Why don't you trust me? And then here they are again, not trusting Jesus, terrified, but yet he still calms the storm. But you see, they were afraid of the unknown. Not so much the storm, but just the unknown. The waves were rocking, the wind was blowing, and Jesus wasn't there, and they didn't know if he was going to show up. It was unknown. It was unclear, right? There was no Jesus. And then when Jesus got there, they're like, is that Jesus? Nope, that's a ghost, right? So they're freaking out there. They don't know what it is. It's still an unknown thing walking on the water towards them, so they're freaked out. And then even Peter, when he's like, okay, Jesus, if that's you, let me come out. All right, come on. And he steps out of the boat, but then he still is terrified and ends up sinking until Jesus rescues him. The fear of the unknown hit them over and over and over again in this situation. Yet still, Jesus brought peace. Peace to their fear. And peace to the storm, to the wind that was going on. He calmed the entire situation. And within this passage of scripture, there are so many things that we can pull from it. So many things that we can use on our journey of moving from being fearful and moving in the direction of living a life of no fear. Especially when it relates to living with no fear in the unknown. So in order for us to begin to move that direction, I want to cover four things that we see in this passage that I think that if you begin to do within your life, it will, again, it's not going to maybe cure it overnight. You're not going to be like, never afraid of the unknown again. This is awesome, you know, because I did X, Y, and Z. But it'll be a journey. But if you start taking these steps, you will be moving in the right direction. And the first thing that we see when in moving from fear to no fear in the unknown is that you need to do the known, right? Simply put, you have to do the known. You see, we always like to know what's coming next, right? I mean, by no one raising their hand on those things, that told me that you enjoy and you like and you really need to know what's coming and what's going to be on the horizon, right? What's next? We love to know that. We love to know the unknown. But in the process of focusing on that and being afraid of the unknown, a lot of times the things that we know to do get neglected because we're so consumed with fear that we don't do the known. And your responsibility every day is to simply listen to Jesus and do the known. Do the thing that he tells you to do right now, in this moment. The unknown and what's to come, that's his responsibility. You just be obedient to the known. Do the known. Matthew 14, 22, we just read it. Immediately after this, after Jesus fed the 5,000 plus, it says he insisted that the disciples get onto the boat, cross to the other side of the lake, while he sent the people home. That was the known. That was the thing that they were supposed to do. Did he give them any other instructions? No. He said, do the known. Just get on a boat and go the other side. That's terrifying. If you don't know why you're going and for what, a lot of times hey Jesus, I got a question. What are we going to do while we're there? How long are we going to be there? What's our game plan? Right? I need a flow chart of what we're going to be doing, how we're going to reach. No, he just says, get on the boat and go. That was the known. And obviously, that is not like the highlight of this story, that he said, get on the boat, and they went. That just gets overlooked a lot. But the fact of the matter is if they weren't obedient in doing the known, they would have missed out on a miracle. They would have missed out on the opportunity to see Jesus walk on water. Peter would have missed that opportunity to step out and walk on water with Jesus. They would have missed the opportunity to see Jesus once again calm the storms in their life. They would have missed out on the opportunity for their faith to increase and grow to the point that they say he truly is the Son of God. They would have missed all that if they didn't do the known. What seems like a trivial part of this passage is key. Jesus isn't going to give you the full plan. Guess what? I don't care how smart or how good you are, you can't handle it. You're not ready for all that God has in store for you and the things that he's going to do in and through you. If I would have known at 37 I was going to be sitting here as the lead pastor of Life Point and everything that has transpired at this point would be here, I would have been freaked out mess at 18 years old. But it was a journey. But that journey starts by doing the known in the here and now. So we've got to be willing to step up and do the known. The second thing that we need to do to begin moving in the direction of having no fear in the unknown is to always remember that Jesus is closer than you think. Jesus is closer than you think. He's closer than your feelings in those moments. Right? Verse 25, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on water. And they saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. Right, they were terrified in their fear. They cried out, it's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them. Check this out. He said, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. When they thought they were all alone, Jesus was closer than they thought. And I don't care how chaotic life gets for you, how the unknown just come get thrown your way and gets thrown your way, gets thrown your way. No matter what's taking place, Jesus is closer than you think. He's right there standing saying, hey, don't be afraid. I'm right here. But we get distracted. And we're worried about the unknown. We're worried about the next thing and what's the 3 steps ahead. And he's saying, don't be afraid. I'm right here. We always have to remember that. Because I get it. The unknown is terrifying. It's not always fun. It's not ever easy. But Jesus is saying, no need to be afraid. I don't give you that spirit of fear. I'm here. I got your back. I'm never going to leave you. Never going to forsake you. Even when you think I'm not here, guess what? I'm here. I've not abandoned you. That's Jesus. That's how much he loves and cares for you. So if we're going to move into having no fear in the unknown, we've got to remember that key point. We've got to remember the fact that Jesus is closer than you think. Always. Regardless of your thoughts and feelings. He's right there. The third thing that we see in moving in the direction of no fear in the unknown is to step out of the boat. Sometimes you actually have to step out of the boat. Which means you've got to step into the unknown. And sometimes that requires a massive leap of faith. But you're never going to have no fear in the unknown if you avoid the unknown. Sometimes you've got to step out of the boat. Verse 28, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on water. Jesus is like, come on, cool, no worries, come on out. And then what did Peter do? He stepped out of the boat. That's intense, right? Truly stepping out into the unknown. Jesus is saying, come on. He's still kind of questioning whether it's Jesus. I mean, listen to his, Jesus, if it's really you, tell me to come out. But he took the step into the unknown, risking just immediately sinking in a storm. You've got to be willing to step out of the boat. You've got to be willing to step out of your comfort zone. And some of us don't like to do that. We love our bubbles, we love our comfort zone, and we want to stay here and it's nice and cozy, and we want to grab our blankie and we just want to chill. Or your snuggie, or whatever you got. You're comfy. You just want to chill in your safe little bubble because it's easy. But Jesus is going to ask you sometime to step out of the boat. He's going to ask you to step out of your comfort zone. And the beautiful thing about it is once you do, walk on water. I'm not saying you're really going to walk on water, so please don't go like to the Ohio River like later today and be like, I'm going to walk on water. Andy said it. It's going to go bad for you. Plus, you might grow another toe off your forehead or something. But don't do that. But when you actually take the risk, get out of your comfort zone, and step out of the boat, amazing things can happen. Amazing things can happen. But if you refuse to even step out of the boat and step into the unknown, you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out. Clear as day. I think about my journey over the past couple years. It's been 2 years this month since I left my job over at Uspiritus, where I was the director of a psychiatric residential facility for like 12 and a half years. Although it was super chaotic and stressful and very intense, in a way it was comfortable because I knew the job in and out. I was good at it. I had a good reputation, a good salary. Things were good. But Jesus asked me to step out of the boat. And it was not easy. And I don't say that to do this because I wrestled with it. But if I hadn't stepped out of the boat, the things that I've learned over the past 2 years and the growth that I've experienced and the opportunity that I've had to spend with my family, I would have missed out on all that. The things that God has taught me, the people that I've met, the opportunities that I've had to share faith with people and to love on people, I wouldn't have had those things. But I first had to step out of the boat, step into the unknown. One of my favorite quotes outside of scripture is this: a ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. A ship in the harbor is safe, right? In the dock. It's not going to encounter really anything sketchy. It's safe. But nobody builds a ship just to sit there. It's to go on adventures. It's to go out into the unknown. And that's what Jesus is going to ask you to do at some point in time. We've got to be willing to step out of the boat. And when we do, we will begin to move in the direction of having no fear in the unknown. So we're going to do the known, right? We're going to remember that Jesus is closer than we think, even when things are sketchy. We're going to be willing to actually step out into the unknown, step out of the boat. And the final thing that we see, and Peter would probably say is maybe the most important, is that you must keep your eyes on Jesus. Throughout the whole process of navigating the unknown, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Period, the end. It is a must. Verse 30, Peter had stepped out of the boat. It says, but when he, being Peter, saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. And Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. You have so little faith, Jesus said. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. You see, Peter stepped out of the boat, right? He stepped into the unknown. And I'm sure when he stepped out at first, and this is just me elaborating and just thinking through it, I'm sure he was just like, this is amazing. Like, I'm standing on water. This is incredible. It probably felt amazing. But then he got hit. The big gust of wind in his face. And in that moment, he got distracted. And he started looking around and he saw the waves and he felt the wind and he lost sight of Jesus because of the surrounding circumstances. And when he did, he began to sink. And man, when we step out into the unknown, it can be the exact same way. You take that big leap of faith and immediately, man, it feels great. Like, this is incredible. Like, I did it and it's going well. And then life throws you a curveball. The wind smacks you in the face that you weren't expecting, takes your knees out from under you, and you begin to sink because you took your eyes off Jesus, because you're being distracted by the chaos that is inevitably going to come your way. But when that happened, what did Peter do? He refocused his eyes back on Jesus, and he cried out for help. Jesus, save me. He's like, oh, craziness. I start sinking. Then boom, back to Jesus, save me. And Jesus didn't judge him, didn't scold him in that moment. What does he do? He reaches out and saves him. Then he gives him a little correction. You ain't got no faith. Why are you lacking faith? But he saved him first and foremost. Then they stepped back into the boat to safety. And then he calmed the storm. This is a beautiful picture of honestly what it's like stepping out into the unknown. It can be terrifying. It can be chaotic. Winds, waves everywhere. And there's going to be times, like, let's not kid ourselves. There's going to be times that we take our eyes off Jesus and we start to sink. We screw up. We make a mistake. Maybe we fail. But that's not the end of the road. That doesn't mean that we try to swim back to the boat, to our comfort zone, and climb in there and try to save ourselves. No, we just own it. Jesus, save me. He's going to reach out and save you. Get back in the boat. Let's reset. Let's do this again. Stepping into the unknown. Said it a ton. It's terrifying. I'm not sitting up here acting like it's easy. It's rough. And there are a lot of unknowns in our world today. A lot. A lot of unknowns. And I don't know what fear of the unknown that you might be struggling with. I would venture to say that every single one of you has some type of unknown that maybe it's not an intense fear, but you worry about. It runs through here a little bit. We tend to freeze up. Don't want to do anything. We get distracted. We get sidelined. We're off mission because we're afraid of the unknown. And unfortunately, I don't have all the answers to all of your unknowns. You don't have all the answers to all of your unknowns. That's why they're unknowns. But we have the person that does. Jesus knows all things. And he's leaving it an unknown for you for the time, for your benefit. Like I said last week, his ways are greater than yours. His knowledge is so much further than we can understand. So we have to trust him that he's leading us in the right path. And we can have no fear in the unknown. It's not going to be easy, but we can move in that direction. And my hope and my prayer is that each one of you today will begin to move in that direction. Again, this is not something you just sit here and say, okay, whatever, I got that, check, and then keep it moving. Like, you've got to go do the work. You've got to spend time with Jesus. You've got to work through these things. It's a must. We've got to. But the reality is, and we can take confidence in the fact, that even though things may be unknown, we know the person that knows all things. And the fact that he will never leave you and never forsake you and that he's closer than you could ever imagine is a known. And we can embrace that known regardless of the other unknowns that come to us, that he is with us. Like I said last week, that the remedy, the only remedy for fear in the storm, right, was faith in Jesus. It's very similar. The fear of the unknown can be remedied and solved by understanding that Jesus is right there and clinging on to that one known truth. And I pray that you will do that today. Move from fear to no fear in the unknown. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for loving us. God, we thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for us so that we could have life, so that we can know you in a personal and intimate way, so that we could continue to connect with you and receive your peace and your hope, so that we can, no matter what we face in life and the unknowns or the storms that we face, the fears that come up, that we can trust you, that you work things for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And God, as we spend time in prayer in this moment, God, I pray that you would speak truth to each and every person that's here and each and every person that's watching online. Speak to them what it is that they need to hear in this moment, God, regardless of whether it had anything to do with anything that was said this morning, God, we ask that you would speak what we need to hear, Father. And may we be bold enough to respond. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe for you, what you need to hear is that God loves you, that he sent his son to die for you. The true gospel message, not shame and blame, but one of love and sacrifice. That he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus to die for you and defeat death, hell, and the grave and rise victoriously for you. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. And maybe for you, that next step into the unknown is placing your faith and trust in Jesus for the first time. Stepping out of the boat and saying, God, I trust you. I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. And I know I'm flawed and I'm not perfect and I need a Savior, so save me. Not about saying specific words or a specific prayer in a specific moment. It's just about your heart connecting with the heart of God and confessing and believing. And if that's you today and you're ready to step over that line of faith, you can do that from your seat. You can do that from home, online, or wherever you're watching. Or if you want to talk to me or one of our team after the service, we'd love to talk to you about that more. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a Christ follower, but you are overwhelmed with the unknown right now. The unknown of 2020. Maybe it's just destroying you. It's beating you up. You're like that ship being thrown around in the wind and the waves. Man, understand Jesus is closer than you think. Take steps of doing the known. And when Jesus calls you out of the boat into the unknown, whatever that unknown is, do it. Because even if you screw up, even if you struggle, if we keep our eyes fixed on him, he's going to save us. He's going to rescue us. He's got our back. If he's for us and if he's with us, man, what do we have to fear? Who can be against us? We got to start living in that spirit of love and power, of a sound mind, self-discipline, not a fear. And if we as Christ followers did that as a church, not just LifePoint Church, but as a global church, we would change the world. Like legit, no like preacher rhetoric. We would change the world if we just did that. But we've got to be bold enough to step out of the boat, get out of our comfort zones. God, we thank you again for loving us. God, may we be bold enough as your people to step into the unknown when you want us to. And may we keep our eyes fixed on you, trusting you that you've got us and that you're there, that you're closer than we may think in those times of chaos. And God, for those that don't know you this morning as Savior, God, I pray that they would just truly step into that unknown and find that it will be the greatest decision they've ever made in their life, coming into a perfect, beautiful relationship with you, made right before you through Jesus. Again, Lord, speak to us in this moment. Holy Spirit, speak to us what we need to hear. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you all so much for being here with us for LifePoint Online. If this is your first time here with us, man, thank you so much for coming and hanging out with us today. If you'd like more information about LifePoint Church, you can go ahead and drop a comment below, or you can send us a direct message on any of our social media platforms, or head over to our website. But someone from our team will get back with you as soon as possible and answer whatever question that you may have. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, again, you can go over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. If you click it, it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. Also, you can go begin to text to give by texting 84321. Text the amount that you want to give. If it's the first time, there'll be a small setup that you'll have to go through. But after that, you'll just be able to text the amount and you'll be good to go. But however you choose to give, man, we are so thankful that you're on mission and that you're giving back just a portion of what God has blessed you with. And again, thank you all so much for being with us today. We love you. We hope to see you throughout the week online, and we will definitely see you next Sunday. Love you guys. Have a great week.